Hey folks, welcome back. This is Tech Ed North America. I'm Dan Fernandez, and we have an awesome session talking about one of the big keynote announcements, which was Cordova. Why don't you two quickly introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Amanda Silver. I am the Director of Program Management for the Visual Studio Tools for Client Applications.
Okay.
I'm Krupa Chinathambi. I'm a Program Manager on the same team working on HTML authoring experiences.
Awesome. So if you didn't see the keynote, this is your time. Send us your questions if you're watching. This is, again, a developer session about our Apache Cordova. Now, for those who didn't see the keynote, what would you say we actually announced there, Amanda?
So Apache Cordova is basically a way that developers using HTML, JavaScript, and CSS, normal web standards, can use those web standards to create packaged applications for mobile devices. So Apache Cordova basically allows you to use the native capabilities on the device, things that probably would not be available in the web context in the browser. Mm-hmm. They can use those in their app. So things like geolocation or camera or custom device-specific things like barcode scanning and things like that, they can use that in their app. But then most of their app they can author using HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. And then once they're done with it, then they can basically start to package it up and deploy it to iOS, Android, and Windows.
So this is kind of big news. You now have built into Visual Studio, we are now going to have the ability to target other devices, meaning iOS and Android. That's what you're telling me right now.
That's right.
Because that is big.
Right. So we have had extensions to Visual Studio that have allowed you to do this for a while through
this
partners.
This is Microsoft Visual Studio.
This is Microsoft, working with open source technologies that have been out there for a couple of years.
Right, and this is an Apache Foundation
exactly,
project.
Exactly, right. So that's basically what we built in, is the ability to target it, just like what you're used to in Visual Studio with create new project. There are a couple of templates in there for both JavaScript and TypeScript. And then, you can edit the config, which is similar to like the app manifest in a Windows store application, to select which devices you want to use. And then the other thing that we also announced that's kind of, that I'll be showing in my session tomorrow, but is important to this, is that it's also really easy to use the services as the back end for your mobile application. So,
love me some services.
Yeah, you're very familiar with the Azure Mobile portion
Absolutely.
Of that. But the other thing we've been doing is working with the portion of Visual Studio that works with the Office team to be able to take the Office 365 APIs and expose that as well. So that, then coupled with Application Insights and Windows Intune for deployment, you really have an absolutely, fantastic end-to-end story from authoring to, using device capabilities to back-end services and then being able to test it and debug it and then package it up and then deploy it using Intune and then be able to monitor it and manage it via App Insights. So all of these things together, I think, is a pretty good end-to-end
story. All the pieces actually start connecting.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got to ask, and again, if you are a developer and you want to know about the things we're doing, feel free to ask us questions, but I'll actually start. So as a developer, why would I choose to choose Apache Cordova over, say, Xamarin or just building for native? Like, when is the right time? Because it's another option for me to choose, and I don't know which one to use which. And what are kind of the best scenarios, and what are places where you may want to use a more native technology?
Right. Well, I mean, so first of all, we always have a situation where we talk to our customers and they kind of say, look, I want to be able to use the existing skills that I already have. My team is this category of team, mm-hmm. and I want to be able to use those skills to be able to build the types of apps that I need to build. So there are developers who are out there who need to be able to target iOS, Android, and Windows, but are coming from a web standards background and want to be able to use HTML, JavaScript, and CSS or TypeScript.
So when would I use, even if I'm going that way?
So
I have WinJS. You got me down there.
Yeah.
That
so that's one
now
thing.
Now WinJS versus...
Well, I mean, I didn't quite finish that first
well,
question.
Well, maybe I'll let you finish.
So the other thing is... when you're building a certain type of application, in some cases it's really important to have really truly customized for the native device itself, because you want to be able to tailor the UI experience for the device. So let's say imagine something where the app itself is your business, like, for example, a game or what's another example of something like that?
Like a high-performance scenario?
Super high-performance scenario or... or
image processing, video editor.
Where, like, you know, it's really important that the experience is first and foremost, and that's kind of why people get the app. So, like,
right.
Things like media consumption or even some, you know, social integration scenarios. Probably what they'd want to do is build something that uses native technologies. So either use truly native technologies, you know, targeting the app platform and targeting that particular device, or they want to use something like Xamarin so that they can use C#, but then have custom native UI that is tailored for the device, right? HTML, JavaScript, and CSS is really kind of optimized more for what is common across the different devices. So even though with Apache Cordova, even though you can use the native device capabilities in terms of API sets, you're still using HTML and CSS and JavaScript as the kind of scripting language for that to author your UI. So you really are still limited within the, you know, boundaries of what HTML and CSS and JavaScript can present.
But one thing is, by basing on Cordova, you do have the rich plugin architecture, which does allow you to give you the ability to create custom plugins that do more than what the default device capabilities provide. So you actually get some extensibility that's actually quite nice.
Cool.
Exactly.
So we have our first question. Brian asks, do I need to get an update for VS to use the Cordova functionality? So what you know, let's talk about, all right, so somebody just watches this. Amanda, you're awesome. I'm going to do it. What do they need to do to get started on this?
Okay. So first of all, this is a very early CTP. I mean, we were just so excited about it that we wanted to get it out there as soon as we could. And so it is, you know, still a little bit challenging at times to make sure that you've configured your machine absolutely correctly. And so one of the things with the CTP, you can absolutely download it via the MSDN Download Center. And what that does is it basically installs a Visual Studio extension as well as all of the kind of links to all of the open source technologies that we have a dependency on and kind of sucks those in as well. And then it also does, so the extension basically adds the template capabilities and things like that. And then it also does a kind of small update to Visual Studio itself so that the debugging capabilities work.
Ooh, you get debugging.
Yeah, so one of the awesome things about this is that, you know, at least for Android apps right now, and Android devices and scenarios.
4.4
plus. Then you can basically launch your app via F5 either to an emulator or to a device or to Ripple, which is the Apache Cordova browser-hosted simulator. You can actually debug, set breakpoints, use the DOM inspector, see JavaScript call stacks.
Yep, all the features people tend to love building via apps in VS, you have them available for cross-platform now.
Right. So basically, you install the extension, and with that, you get all the open source technology as well as the debugging capabilities, and kind of you're good to go. It does have a dependency on the latest update, though, so you have to make sure that you're current with the latest Visual Studio.
And to be clear, so it's Visual Studio 2013, and it's update 2, right? So, or does this work on Visual Studio 2012?
No, it's update 2. It has to be...
Okay, so 2013 update 2.
2013 update 2, yes.
Is how to get started.
Yes.
So, you mentioned Android, and one of the challenges is obviously iOS, because if you're a developer that's targeting iOS, you actually need a Mac to do a number of scenarios. So how do you, and you know, things like Ripple or something could help, or some sort of browser emulation things, but what are some of the best practices or ways that you're encouraging customers to target iOS or debug iOS?
Well, this is still absolutely very, very early. So we're still, you know, in the process of kind of getting feedback from customers in terms of what they need from the tool set. But I can tell you what the CTP has in it.
Okay.
So for iOS, basically you can kind of target that device using the Ripple simulator that's hosted in the browser. And so that's still using Chrome, and so it uses, you know, the WebKit, and so it's kind of a, you know, rough approximation, I would say, of what it would look like on an iOS device. But then you, to be able to actually package it, you actually do need to have a Mac. And so one of the things that I'll show in my demo tomorrow is we've kind of worked on a remote build agent that you can run on the Mac, so that if you have a Mac in your network, you just kind of associate it with an IP address, and then you can build it from Visual Studio and even launch the simulator.
Correct.
So just so I understand, I got my Hello World app. I then, before I do that, I need to set up install something on the Mac, which is the remote build agent, and then set up kind of IPs, or how exactly does
right.
that
you
work?
Basically, you have to pair it.
Yeah, there's an IP and a port number that you need to specify, and in the VS configuration dialog, you actually specify the information about the remote build server you have set up. And once you do that, you can hit F5, and you can actually have the communication between your development machine and your Mac machine working just fine.
So when you say communication, and I'm just being maybe getting a little too deep here, but the idea is, can you actually debug something? Like, do you get the equivalent of a breakpoint, or is it, I'm throwing this build, it's there, it tells me it succeeded. Is it just build, or do you get that awesome debug experience you were mentioning on Android?
So for right now, the debugging experience is pretty limited to Android 4.4 plus.
Okay.
You know, what we wanted to do was to kind of like do the basics of the experience, put it out there, see what the community reaction is, before we kind of went too far down.
The current guidance is use the Safari web tools to diagnose your app on running on the Mac itself.
Okay, cool. And we do have some questions here. So AJ Smith asks, are universal apps supported with Cordova? So maybe give, in case people don't have the context, since you also worked on universal apps, what are universal apps and what does it mean in the context of Cordova?
Do you want to take this?
I'll take this one.
Okay.
So the universal app structure, you know, we announced at Build, is a way for you to build have a common project structure for building a Windows Store app and a Windows Phone app with a shared location where you can have assets that are shared between both of them. The Cordova app is a little bit different. It's based on the Cordova platform and how they define how your project's done. And the way Cordova works in how you have tailor your specific device capabilities is you have an actual folder for the platform content, and you have a special folder for merging content between the various platforms. So basically, there's a big difference in that and how the project is structured, but the end result is very similar. You have an area where you can specify common content, and you have an area where you can specify information that is platform specific.
Okay. So it is a completely different project type, for lack of a better word.
Correct.
Now, one area that people are maybe wondering about. So when we came out with, if you remember, Windows Store, the idea is it's not, when you're building HTML.js applications, they aren't in a browser. They're native applications. So in terms of what kind of a structure or maybe a stack would look like, for Cordova applications, can you actually get native, can you optimize, if you will, for Windows Store apps and get sort of that native performance for JavaScript running? Because JavaScript, you mentioned Cordova's JavaScript HTML. Can you get more either context or get, maybe you'd call it device-specific bindings, or get even better performance when you're running JavaScript HTML on Windows Store apps, for example?
It's definitely doable. You know, with VS Project System, you can actually configure where files go and how they get deployed pretty easily, and you can do some work on it. But out of the box, though, we don't provide any support yet on reconciling the major differences between universal apps and the Cordova projects.
One of the things, though, is, you know, when you take an app that's written in JavaScript, one of the things that makes a high-performant app in JavaScript high-performant is actually jitting that happens on the fly. So everybody who's ever gotten deep with .NET kind of certainly understands the concept of just-in-time compilation. And so JavaScript is also a managed language in the sense that there is a runtime process that basically takes the script at runtime and then turns it into targeted machine code. Mm-hmm. Because we're targeting multiple platforms, each one of those platforms kind of deals with the JavaScript in a different way.
Right.
And so for Windows devices, we will always JIT the JavaScript if, of course, it reaches that limit and it kind of warrants JITting. For iOS and Android, they have kind of different policies.
Okay. Yeah, and obviously you could only optimize for the platforms you could control, for lack of a better word, in terms of the actual execution environment.
Yeah, you certainly are subject to the host.
Exactly. So we have another question. You know, Ben Dewey asks, can you build a cross-platform app with a Cordova-first approach and deploy to Windows 8? And follow-up is, what's the support for WinRT using Cordova?
Yeah. So yes, you certainly can build a cross-platform app with Cordova first and deploy it to Windows 8. And in fact, there is an extension to the Cordova project that allows you to target Windows 8. So one of the things that this extension does is, it has new project templates, but then basically in the debug kind of drop-down menu where you target where you want to F5 to, if you've written a client app before, used to be the case that you could target a device, you could target an emulator. Now what you will be able to target is not only all of those things, so the emulator, the simulator, and device, but also you can toggle kind of which platform you actually want to deploy it to. And Windows and Windows Phone, of course, are targets in there as well.
Just to be clear, Windows Store. So this is
Windows
not like
Store.
A desktop
right.
in case.
Not a desktop. That's right. Windows Store applications and Windows Phone applications. So you can kind of toggle it that way. Now, Still, Windows Phone 8, Windows 8, iOS, and Android don't all have common APIs. Mm-hmm. And so part of the value of Apache Cordova is that you're actually targeting a common subset of device capabilities across those things that just aren't available yet in the browser context.
And that's also why people love it, right? Because we have one set of code that can be reused across everywhere.
That's right. And you can also write your own native plugins for specific things that you need to be able to target. But what that means is that rather than using the WinRT APIs, you basically end up targeting the Cordova APIs. And one of the things that we've done is included TypeScript typings for all of the Cordova APIs so that when you're trying to target Cordova, you're not familiar with those APIs, you can actually get pretty great IntelliSense for the APIs.
That's actually a very cool thing, you know, because people are really like, and again, it really depends on where the customer is coming from. If they've been JavaScript and this is their 10th Cordova application, maybe TypeScript will be some new scary thing. But for folks who are like playing with TypeScript, to be able to walk and understand these plugin APIs is awesome.
Yeah.
This is very cool.
Yeah.
So actually, one other question that I think I had was the support for WinRT using Cordova. So does Cordova, and maybe I think this question is also related to Windows 8 versus 8.1 and Phone. Like, what is the because it's you all are supporting what Apache Foundation supports, and what's kind of the Apache Foundation support for all the different permutations?
Do you want to talk
about that?
Off
the top of your head?
You want me to take it?
You can defer it.
Okay. So
make her take the hard ones. That's nice.
So Cordova has kind of, because it's really been focused, it's an open source project, so it focuses on the things that developers currently need. It doesn't necessarily stay absolutely current with our most latest platforms, and instead it focuses on the devices that are out there in the market, because that's what people need to target. So what the project has been focusing on, and we've been working with Microsoft Open Technologies to kind of make sure that it stays as current as it possibly can, but we've been working with them to ensure that there's a version of Cordova that can target Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8. And so the two are still a little bit different in terms of the API surface area. So you end up targeting the platform abstraction layer in Cordova that basically allows you to access those native device capabilities as opposed to WinRT directly. But underneath the covers, what the project actually does when WinRT is present is it actually ends up, you know, implementing what Cordova does is it implements that platform abstraction layer by targeting the WinRT APIs.
Right.
So you as
a
developer,
at a higher level, you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly. So you as a developer, you wouldn't target WinRT directly, but if you chose to write your own native plugin, for example, then you could absolutely.
Then you could go to town. That gets back to some of the interesting things you could do around performance for our platform because of the native support for JavaScript.
Right.
So we have even more questions. Jeremy asks, is there a common data store for offline data access that can be used across all platforms using Cordova and supported by Visual Studio?
So this is the and makes this one tough. So one of the things that we've tried to do with this early Cordova release is kind of included the common plugins that people tend to use in Cordova projects.
Right.
And so I think it's, what is it, WebSQL that we included?
WebSQL.
Yeah. So we have the WebSQL plugin included in the Cordova project, the project template right now. And so that's kind of, I think, the only offline data story that we have right now for the project.
Correct. But it also depends on what kind of data you're looking for, because WebSQL might be overkill for some of your scenarios. You
that's
could also
absolutely
use
true.
HTML5 local storage and then, you know, have your own custom service if you really wanted to for temporary persistence of not a whole lot of data. So it all depends on what your needs are as well.
Right.
Yeah. Or you could, you know, store it in the cloud and sync up, you know, when available.
That wouldn't exactly be offline. But
yeah. Yeah. That's true, actually.
Yeah. So but I mean, the other thing is, of course, you could author your own native plugin and use that as well.
Yeah. So a question here from Carlos. Let me see if I can. Oh, no, I guess. There we go. Modern apps are great. Why not an integrated development environment with the Microsoft support non-Xamarin for Windows 8.1, WinPhone, Android, iOS. So why not an integrated? I'm not sure I understand this one.
Yeah, I don't really understand the question.
Yeah.
It could mean why not write natively, but we're speculating.
Maybe like having our native like WinRT
native
everywhere.
UI.
Like
WinRT everywhere.
Because I'm trying
UI
to understand
everywhere.
This question.
Yeah.
But the idea being maybe it's the our IDE and native support for WinRT and modern apps, but have it work on 8.1, Windows Phone, Android, and iOS, which would basically be like porting our runtime. Maybe I'm interpreting this is.
Yeah,
this is,
I mean,
I'm reading tea leaves or hieroglyphics here.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, our runtime is our runtime. I mean, one of the things for HTML, JavaScript, and CSS is at Build, we announced that WinJS is going to be cross-platform. So, you know, while that isn't quite the same thing as absolutely all of the capabilities going to Android and iOS, and even in that case, not all of the UI capabilities will go to Android and iOS. There at least is a portion of it that you can kind of bring to the other platforms as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So one of the things that we built, we included in this set of samples that are targeting Angular and then Bootstrap and then WinJS is the third one. So you can kind of take a look at that and see what you can bring to other platforms.
You know, because you mentioned this is a very early CTP, and obviously one of the things when we do these kind of releases, it's really to get customer feedback. So
Right. Kind
of what are the ways that a customer, what would you say is good feedback to get in terms of the feature, and where would a customer give feedback for this?
Well, actually, Karupa has been asked that question about 10 times today.
Sure. You know, we love all feedback, but definitely feedback on what you like, what you don't like, very useful. And we have many ways to give us feedback. We have a Twitter account. We actually active on Stack Overflow. The landing page we have as part of our release gives you a list of all the places you can go to get in touch with us, and we're very active in helping back. So you might even hear back from Amanda or I on your question.
So you mentioned the landing page. Do you happen to know the URL off the top of your head, or should we Google it with Bing? Or
You should definitely search for it. The URL has a lot of numbers and characters that don't quite make a lot of sense by itself, so I don't have it memorized.
Oh, it's an MSCN URL.
Oh,
right.
There you go.
Okay. Yes. So speaking of which, you know, you mentioned this is kind of your first release. So I'm assuming there will be kind of additional releases coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything you can say kind of like high-level roadmap in terms of, hey, look, this is kind of what we could do for this release, but we know these are things that we want to address kind of in the future?
So this is really a very early release where we're trying to get feedback on the direction. First of all, do developers want to use HTML, JavaScript, and CSS when they're writing cross-platform apps?
Right.
Do they like the capability of cross-platform app targeting from Visual Studio?
Right.
I would expect that a lot of developers will like that.
Yeah, I think these are going to be some pretty easy
responses. Do they like you know, Apache Cordova, or is there another kind of mechanism that they think is a better way to go? There are some major design decisions in here around, like, you know, what do you want to have running and building locally versus what do you want to actually end up building in the cloud?
Mm-hmm.
What are the end-to-end device kind of development capabilities that you need? Everything from, you know, the simulator, emulator, and device deployment, but also like test scenarios or build scenarios. There's still a lot of potential ways that we could continue to grow this. And I think this is one of the things that we're really hoping to get some feedback on this week and you know, over the next few weeks.
Awesome. You know, one of the challenges is, because you mentioned this before, was how do you go about, you know, there's so many frameworks in HTML and JavaScript, and you're trying to start from what would be the right way? Somebody says file new project. Well, what JavaScript framework are we going to choose? Are we going to be opinionated? Are we going to be blank and then something else? Like, kind of walk us through the thinking and what's actually, what choices you made.
Yeah. Do you want to take this or?
Sure. I can start and you can help me finish.
So and right, you can give the right answer, right. Sure. Correct as needed. Sure, sure.
So right now when you create a file new project, we have a blank template, either JavaScript or TypeScript based. And part of the feedback we want to hear is like, you know, what frameworks do people like to use quite frequently? So right now we're very framework agnostic. You know, if it you know, whatever works for your situation, feel free to use it. And if it works with Cordova, it'll work with what we're delivering as well. And as Amanda mentioned, we have three samples that we've created that we feel are good candidates that we've found particularly useful, Angular, WinJS and Bootstrap.
Now you said samples. Are you actually shipping like more like end-to-end starter kits, if you will, or that kind of thing? Or yeah. Is it more like project templates?
I think they're end-to-end samples. You have to download them separately from the web, and they come with a great set of documentation that gives you a great level of detail on what goes on. Amanda's talk tomorrow will also go into great detail about some of these as well. But they're not project templates.
They're pretty basic. I mean, they're basically, we built the to-do MVC apps for modern applications, which everybody is kind of familiar with if they've taken a look at any, you know, UI or controller frameworks. It's kind of the standard.
Yeah.
The standard demo, basically. So we built those out for these three different stacks.
Okay. Yeah. So, and if I wanted to give feedback on using another one, for example, that would be something to specifically email you on in terms of?
Yeah, email, use Connect, use AscendedSmell in Visual Studio, use Stack Overflow. Whatever mechanism people use, we will be watching for it.
You know, one other thing, and obviously common for UI developers, is some sort of design surface. So when I'm building these applications, do I have a design, and certainly you've heard this before, do I have a design surface for this?
Not in the current build. So what the current build, what we kind of released in the initial rollout is what I would call visual debugging, where what you would do is you F5 or you'd launch the app to some kind of surface, but then you can use the DOM Explorer to even select events on that target. So one of the really cool things about this is like, you know, I can have Visual Studio on my monitor, and then I can have a tethered device. And I can take the DOM Explorer, and I can go and click on any element on the device,
and
then I'll see it in the DOM Explorer.
So
I and you know, with that, you can also do things like chain styling and all that kind of stuff. But it's that's the visual debugging or diagnostics experience.
Okay, so it looks like we are out of time. So Amanda Krupa, thank you so much, and thank you everybody for taking our questions. And they're going to be switched to a session after this. So thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you.